Cloudy skies and 65 degrees.
It is 8:47 at AM 930 WEOL. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And we're moving right along with our spotlight on Oberlin, day number two. You were right, Craig, when we looked at it. I sometimes underestimate. I think we can kind of fit things together. We have so many different people that have so many interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, I'm always inquisitive. I want to find out about things that are going on. This time around, we're going to find out what's happening at the Oberlin Conservatory. We have Kathy Strauss joining us this morning. Hi, how are you?
Hi there. How are you doing, Bruce?
Good. Now, where we are at commencement week, you finished up with some of all the students' recitals, right? Is that wrapped up?
Just about. We actually have a few more that happened during commencement weekend because it's also reunion, and so we put on a big show. So we have several more coming this weekend. Some of them are sold out, but two that aren't are the commencement recitals on Saturday and Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10. You see people that have auditioned for the honor of playing on these different showcase recitals. So everything from organ to piano to harp to a Baroque orchestra and a jazz ensemble, bassoonists, singers. It's terrific, actually.
Now, I went to one that it looked like, I'm assuming the person was being graded on this or something, it seems, or maybe they just have their families come out and see them and perform.
I mean, are you talking about a recital?
Or one of the, I think so, one of them. I'm not quite sure I went to
So when you're a conservatory student, part of your degree is based on how well you perform, and you have to do certain number of performances. The big ones, the degree-granting recitals, are your junior recital, which is at least 30 minutes of music, and your senior recital, which is an hour of music. And so these students are actually, yes, they're kind of graded on it. I mean, you have to be able to successfully perform these recitals to the degree that your department is happy with them.
Sometimes they bring other people with them to perform with them.
Yeah, sure. So
accompany them in some sense.
Or every musician, part of your skill set is being a collaborative artist. And so that demonstrates another way of you being a competent musician is to play with other musicians in chamber music style groups. They're small. So anything under 9 players on stage is usually considered chamber music.
Are the performances graded by faculty members? How does that work?
Yeah, they are. So they're not necessarily given a letter grade, but it's sort of a pass-fail situation. And yeah, so you have to hit your marks, basically. And
what kind of things do the faculty members look for?
I think it probably varies, but I mean, if you're talking about competence as a musician, you want somebody that's able to play in tune and in rhythm and with a sound of quality. And then there are certain intellectual hurdles. Some of them are required to play all of their programs from memory. Some are not. It depends on the repertoire. Obviously, if you're playing chamber music, you can have music on stage when you're trying to coordinate not only the playing of your instrument, but the communication with several folks on stage. But yeah, so there are certain things that you know you want to see from a young musician between the ages of 18 and 21. They want to make sure that they're graduating a student that will be able to go out and earn a living.
Let's talk about some of the artist recital series.
Yeah, so the artist recital series happens every year here at Oberlin, and next year, I believe, is our 141st season. And if you think about that, we started this back in the 1800s, and it's still going, which is crazy.
Right.
So Oberlin is, you know, the oldest and longest continuously operating conservatory in the United States. So I guess it stands to reason that we have one of the oldest concert series, especially when you get off the East Coast and you're looking at, you know, what was the edge of wilderness at a certain point, not too much before we got here. So to have this concert series that has had the likes of Heifetz and Rubinstein and 100 years of performances by the Cleveland Orchestra. They're also celebrating their 100th anniversary, just finishing it. It's a remarkable series. And so next year we have 7 different concerts. plus the annual Marilyn Horn Masterclasses. Our concerts start off on September 21st with the Cleveland Orchestra, of course. They're bringing a piano soloist with them, Alexandra Tarot, and Franz Welser-Most, who is the music director of the Cleveland Orchestra, will be on the podium that weekend. We very commonly see guest conductors, which is fantastic, but we actually get to see Maestro out here in September, and that's on the 21st. It's a Friday night at 7:30. So they're going to be bringing a great program with them that includes Tchaikovsky's Suite from Swan Lake, very popular favorite. And then we have basically a concert a month. I guess there are a couple months where we double up. But in October, famous violinist James Ennis playing Beethoven, Ravel, and Brahms. And then in November, we have the Romeros, which is a classical guitar quartet. Since we have a terrific guitar society in Northeast Ohio, we have an audience that loves classical guitar, and they're going to be satisfied with this group. They've been around for a really long time. They're into, like, the generations of children, but this ensemble's been playing for decades together and passed down from grandparents to grandchildren. It's a great tradition. Then in December, we do have our Marilyn Horn Masterclass, and this is where our students, our vocal studies students, audition for the opportunity to participate in a public masterclass with the famous and very well-known Marilyn Horn, one of the greatest mezzo-sopranos ever to sing opera, teaches these kids in public, and they're expected to get better. And that happens on the stage at Finney Chapel. All of these concerts happen in our historic Finney Chapel, which is a 1,200-seat auditorium-style building. Can fit a full orchestra on stage, obviously, but is also perfect for intimate groups of, you know, chamber music, jazz, and obviously voice and piano. After December, once we hit second semester, then we're going to have a string quartet, the Doric Quartet, coming from Britain. They are an award-winning young quartet that's likely to bring some Haydn. They're still deciding on their program, but they've been turning heads with their interpretations of classical music. Then we have Joyce DiDonato, who is probably one of the most famous opera singers singing now. And very involved in education of singers. She runs master classes at Carnegie Hall. An amazing personality, very dynamic. And she's bringing this program called Song Play. And she will actually be doing songs not just from opera. So she's going to start with early Baroque and then go through American classics, scanning from pure classical to improvised jazz. And she'll have at least a quintet with her. So we're looking forward to seeing that group come here with keyboard, double bass, trumpet. There's also an accordion or bandoneon player. It should be a remarkable opportunity to see Joyce DiDonato. She's never been to this series before, and I'm not certain she's been to Northeast Ohio. We haven't found record of her performances in this area.
How did they acquire her to come here? Who's out this there seeking that and sort of getting
Yeah, so we have a director of artistic programming. Her name's Thea Boyd, and Thea's terrific. She gets on the phone and she works with these artists' agents, and, you know, we have pretty strict time frames when all this can happen, because it has to happen when the students are here. So we avoid spring and fall break, as well as winter term. So we basically have September through early December, and then February through April to bring in these artists. But it's a commitment that the conservatory makes and to the community, and obviously has for more than 100 years. And it's terrific. We draw from as far west as Sandusky and Norwalk, and as far east as Ashtabula, and down south from Ashland and Akron and Canton. People will drive depending on the artist. When we had Yo-Yo Ma here 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I had people drive from Indianapolis to see his concert, which was just spectacular. People have come from Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. So if you build it, they will come, kind of thing. So we're hoping for that with Joyce. She does have a great draw. Then we have, in April, we have Peter Andrzejewski, pianist, and he'll be playing Bach Preludes and Fugues and the Diabelli Variations. So exciting pianist, terrific straight-ahead program. And then we complete the season on April 17th with the Spring Quartet, which is a jazz ensemble that has Joe Lovano, saxophonist, Dak DeJeanette, who is a drummer who's played with Coltrane and Miles Davis, and this group does most of his own compositions. Esperanza Spalding, who is a bass player and singer, and in 2011 she was the first jazz player ever to get the Grammy Award for Best New Artist. And Leo Genovese, who is a Argentinian pianist. And so this jazz quartet will come and wrap up our season in a nice tidy bow. And so we're going to have more information online, and that will be at oberlin.edu/artsguide. And we'll start selling season tickets to the public in August. And we're really looking forward to having a great year.
You also offer free concerts for people throughout.
Yeah, there are free concerts all year long from our faculty, from our students, from guest artists that come and do residencies. So there are nearly 500 concerts that are free every year here, from degree recitals of our students to guest recitals and chamber music concerts. This is something that is available to everybody. Our large ensembles play several times a semester, so you can hear orchestral repertoire with two different orchestras and two different contemporary music ensemble groups, as well as choir. We have an opera theater company in our conservatory, and they do an opera each semester. We've done things like Hansel and Gretel and Cinderella, to Street Scene by Kurt Weill, and Marriage of Figaro by Mozart. And it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to bring your families here. For the opera, we do charge, but those are very inexpensive tickets. You can get in, I think, for students at $8 and $12 for adults. So every other concert that we do in the conservatory spaces, and we have 9 performance halls, are free. So you're going to pay for the artist recital series and for our operas, but 490 other concerts here,
right,
you're coming free of charge. It's fabulous to offer this to the community.
What happens during the summer now?
Now, during the summer, we have several summer programs that are dedicated to all different kinds of study, and these are usually geared towards either upper middle school, but mostly high school students. We have the Vocal Academy, which is in June. That's a 10-day long program for students who are aspiring classical singers. We have the Sonic Arts Workshop, which is for electronic musicians who like to use digital creative mediums, computers, synthesizers. And that's also for high school students, and that's a really competitive workshop, competitive in that it sells out really fast. Kids are fascinated by this. We have the Baroque Performance Institute, which has been running for more than 4 decades now. Oberlin is the site of the beginnings of Baroque study in the conservatory setting. And so this is a program that does offer free concerts, some free concerts and some ticketed, admission-based concerts. So Baroque Performance Institute runs June 17th through July 1. That's a terrific opportunity to come to campus and hear some concerts by guest artists and students from the institute. Then we have a trumpet workshop, a flute academy. There's a high school academy for organists, the Milt Hinton Institute for Studio Bass. Both the Organ Academy and the Institute for Studio Bass do offer public concerts, and those are at the end of June and beginning of July. Milt Hinton was a really famous jazz bass player, and so this is an institute that is geared towards bass of every kind. So we have a training session even for the youngest bassist with Suzuki instruction all the way through just post-grad, and they'll do slap bass and jazz bass and classical, and they learn about our recording techniques in our recording studio. And it's a great program, and funded by the Milt Hinton gift to Oberlin. So we have some of his instruments, and there's also a financial gift that made this biannual institute possible. And then we get to the piano festival and the international competition of the Cooper competition this year, featuring piano. And that has two very high profile events that you can come to the concert hall Wednesday. Let's see, that's going to be July 18th at 7 o'clock in Warner Concert Hall. We have recital finals, and that features the last six of the 34 pianists that have been admitted to the competition now from 9 different countries. And then those students get, there's a cut after that evening, and the last three will play a concerto, full concerto with the Cleveland Orchestra at Severance Hall in Cleveland. Both of those concerts are broadcast live. You can actually hear them on WCLV, which is our broadcast partner. That's Northeast Ohio's classical music station. And you can also see the Wednesday recital finals broadcast via live stream video from oberlin.edu. And you can go into our calendar.oberlin.edu or the Cooper competition, and that's easy to Google and come up with the live stream link and see the cameras right up close on the stage. It's a remarkable system. It broadcasts really well, especially if you've got speakers hooked up to a computer, but or listen with headphones.
So you can bring the quality of a performance, because sometimes
right into your living room.
The audio for a video may not be as well, but you've worked on doing this, and
this
whole other way to, I guess, bring what you're doing out to the world. Then.
Yep. And we have a lot of families who get to see their students perform all year long. 7 of our concert halls have this live streaming capability. Only 2 don't. So that's the Cat and the Cream and the Hall Auditorium. So our opera families have to come.
I'm interested in the back end of this part. Is there other people that are then running that equipment, or are they switch? So you have a whole other group of people that are sort of working a production element to this.
Yeah, so we have student workers, and our conservatory audio department runs all of these live webcasts. While we can broadcast from 7 different spaces, we can only do 5 concurrently. And one of them actually is in the basement of this space. We're here at the hotel at Oberlin.
Wait, there's a basement in this hotel?
I did not know that.
There is a lower level called the Bierenbaum, and it has a full-service bar and a performance stage with a fabulous Steinway piano on stage. And it's a club-like setting, and we've had amazing events here from classical voice to jazz saxophone to lectures and adult learning. It's a collaborative space for entrepreneurial students during the day, and then starting at 4:30, it turns into a performance space.
I did notice they sort of have classical music sort of piped through the restaurant or the hotel as well.
And many of the pieces that you're hearing on this sound system here in the hotel are from the Oberlin Music Label. So our Clonic recording studio is the site where we do high-end recordings that are distributed through Naxos, and they feature the work of our faculty and students and alumni, and you can buy them at the Oberlin Bookstore or online through Amazon.com. But we have artists such as Jamie Haddad, who's actually now out on tour with Paul Simon and teaches advanced percussion and improvisation here at Oberlin. That's one of the more recent releases, but that's a world music release. We have our jazz faculty on Beauty Surrounds Us, and then we have 22 other releases with our classical faculty and students and alumni.
So there's a lot, every place. There's music in every building, by the way, I guess.
Yep.
Or a performance space, it seems. Or it's created just because of the demand. You even walk on Tappan Square, if there's a window open, you can hear somebody practicing.
Yeah, that's true.
Throughout the whole thing. Well, there's a lot going on. Again, if people want to find out more about a lot of what we talked about, the recital series, or maybe seeing some of the live stream, where's a good place to get the details on that?
The best place to find things that are free are is the website calendar.oberlin.edu. And then for our premiere series, which is the artist recital series, that's oberlin.edu/artsguide.
Great. Well, Kathy, we appreciate your time this morning. Kathy Strauss from the Oberlin Conservatory. Lots going on there. Even when the school year winds down, there's still things happening.
Yeah, we slow down a little bit. We're still here, though.
That's right. Well, you fill up the dorms with all those classes that you talked about through the summertime, too. So always music, always learning here at Oberlin College. We are spotlighting the community, and we've got more to come.